Possession crucial from this. How much longer will the referee allow? Dublin lead by a point. And there's the whistle. It's over. It's over.
We earned it by winning the last two matches on the road, and that's not going to be taken away from us.
But what I love in hurling, I love players that never give in.
He hits it. He hits it. What? It's over the bar.
Today's RTE GAA podcast is going to remember to hit record. How are you doing, everybody? And welcome good. Along to the RTE GAA podcast. I'm joined by Rory O'Neill, Tomás O'Shea and Kieran Whelan, who are patiently waiting for me to hit record on Zoom, which I've done this time. So this is going to be a well-rehearsed intro. How are we all doing, lads?
Good, good, Mikey. Good,
Mikey. Good, Mike.
Yep. Just checking, Still hit record? I have. Okay.
Oh, no, we're recording.
So today we are picking the midfielders on the All-Star team of the Sunday game era. The football team is proving to be far, far less controversial than the hurling team. So let's just have a quick look at it here to refresh our memories. So can we all see that, gentlemen? For those listening on radio, we have Stephen Cluxton in goal. We have Mark O'Shea, Seamus Moynihan and Paddy O'Shea in the full back line. In case there aren't enough O'Shea's, we've got Tomás O'Shea at wing back, Lee Keegan at centre back, and Jack McCaffrey is making up a very, very attack-minded defence. In our first go at this that nobody's ever going to hear because Mikey forgot to hit record, there were a few complaints. Tomás wanted to take himself out and put James McCarthy in, which is an incredibly selfless act.
Well, I suppose, Mikey, with Lee Keegan not being a natural centre-back, I'd have McCarthy in there as well. I'd have McCarthy would be possibly my first half-back in there. If you were doing your own team, it'd be interesting enough. We should put up our own teams at the end or something.
Oh yeah, but,
that's a good shout. Yeah,
more things for people to give out is a good thing. Give out about is a good thing, Tomás. Give them more to give out about.
Well, they're all giving out about you at the moment, Mikey. So
exactly,
you just get one name at the moment. So,
Tomás, is there any chance you can get a couple more Kerry lads in there now?
What about a couple of more girls? The lads, Wheelo. I think there isn't enough girls and lads in there. You could pick an all-time Gaeltacht. I was telling the lads there, you could pick an all-time Gaeltacht team, right? And probably, I'm telling you now, they're so black back here and they take it really, really personal. The three Shays might not make that back line, the Gaeltacht. So, but we've made the Sunday game back line, so that's all right.
That's enough.
Yeah, no, it's impressive. It's impressive. Yeah.
I think James McCarthy's definitely the biggest loser, but it's very, very hard to think who you'd leave out.
Yeah, well, I don't think anybody's complained about if Seamus Moynihan wasn't at full back, would you have to have him at centre half back ahead of James McCarthy? There's a question for you, Wheela.
Oh, well, you see, James McCarthy, you know, was a marauding kind of wing back, and he's played midfield as well, like Tomás. Like Seamus went full back what year, Tomás, when he really bulges out?
You see, Seamus went full back in 2000.
Yeah.
He was footballer of the year inside, we don't. He had an unbelievable
year back there. Yeah.
Probably the best fullback I see. He was just on the top of his game that year. But I mean, I think his most natural position was number five. Yet I was there for most of the career when Seamus was there. So he never got an actual. He was put centre back, he was put left half back, he was put corner back, he was put midfield at times, he was put full back. He played one footballer of the year. I'd have Seamus definitely on the team at right half back. I think he was.
But you just said he never played right half back because you're always playing right half back.
They all said that was his best position. But I suppose he had problems because look, I was better than Seamus, obviously. But look, for the selectors, I was a better number five. Don't worry, I couldn't go in full back.
I think full back is fair enough. I think full back is fair enough for him because full back is a poxy position to play.
And realistically, the typical full back, you know, it's not there anymore. There isn't a full back. You're inside there. You're a man marker. It's not the old style, isn't it?
You couldn't put a pair of superstars like you in at full back anyway, like men like this. Can we see this now?
No.
You still can't see it? It doesn't want to share this image.
No, it's probably configured in some way that the.
Anyway, the two boys, are very lucky. I'm going to post it on Twitter later. Magnificent.
Even worse.
Anyway, I shall give you the top 10 midfielders.
Top 10.
As voted for by the public. And the vote isn't finished. You'll get a couple of days now after ruminating on the learned sage advice of Kieran Whelan and Tomás O'Shea to keep voting. So here we go. The top 10. And I'm afraid, Kieran Whelan, it is in descending order. At number 10, we have Kieran Whelan.
Geez, I'm surprised I'm even in the top 10. I'll take that.
Number 9, John McDermott. Right, Willie Joe Padden. Number 7, Aidan O'Shea. Number 6, Dermot Early, Kildare and Roscommon. Number 5, Sean Kavanagh. Number 4, Anthony Toho. Number 3, and threatening not to make the Gaeltacht or Sunday game team of the Sunday game era, is Dara O'Shea. At 4, we have Brian Fenton. Oh, sorry, at 2, we have Brian Fenton. And at number 1, we have Jack O'Shea. And I can tell you, there is a chasm between Jack O'Shea's 5,500 votes, Brian Fenton has 4,200 votes, and Dara has 2,600 votes. So, wow. Jack and Brian Fenton.
Who's number 4, Mikey?
Anthony Toho, who I voted for, can I say, for transparency.
And who's number 5, so?
Sean Kavanagh.
Oh, yeah.
Who will be nominated twice more.
He did most of his football in the full forward lane.
He did, yeah.
Issue with a few there, no?
Yeah.
So did I.
Okay, go on, your initial thoughts then, lads. Shoot.
Paul McGrain should definitely be in the top 10. I'd have Wheelo further down the list. No, I mean not further down. I mean the other way. Like,
all right.
even if I thought Wheelo should be number 15, you think I'd say it here? I wouldn't my heart. I'd have Wheelo further up that list. Is what I mean. Like,
I wouldn't. I just look at it and I see. Yeah, Paul McGrain is obviously missing. I definitely have. Towhill for me was just unbelievable.
Unbelievable.
Kevin Walsh is not in there.
Yeah.
Like John Galvin, lads, wasn't even nominated, was he?
John Galvin from Limerick, Gay Wheelo, was it?
Yeah. What happened there?
Super player.
Yeah.
What about Fergal Doherty, Derry, Kieran?
Yeah. Another good
John Kwan.
Yeah. Even if you go back to some of the. Like, guys, some of the midfielders I played with, Leinster, going back the mid-90s, like Seamus O'Hanlon from Loud, he was an animal, lads. He'd bait the head off you with his, you know.
But, like, if you look there now, Wheelo, right, my issue there, right, number 7, Aidan O'Shea. I think Aidan O'Shea is a brilliant footballer. I have great time for him. I know he gets slack in some quarters, but I think he's outstanding. I don't think there's a better tackler in the game than him, actually, and he's brilliant. He drives Mayo on. He's constantly there. He's constantly showing up for them, and he's constantly a big player for them. But he hasn't been, for a midfielder, and it's like Shamo at fullback, he hasn't consistently been at midfield, and it's nothing against him as a midfielder. I'm not saying, but I do think, like, for a midfield, it is a specialised position. But I also think, and Wheelo, you'd know it better than I would, I think the midfielders of 15, 20 years ago are different to the midfielders now. There aren't too many in the top 10. They're all traditional midfielders rather than Fenton is the only fella, really.
Yeah, the game, it's very, very hard to judge because the game changed so much. Do you know what I mean? Particularly in terms of the kick out. And we went through an era where fielding wasn't usually important. It was all about possession. So, like the likes of Aidan O'Shea is a box-to-box type player. He's not your, you know, he drops off into the defence, when, like, particularly at the moment, the way he's playing that kind of role, where he's not a kind of traditional fielder of the ball. You don't see him leaping up and, you know, plucking balls out of the air. You know, Sean Kavanagh's probably similar as well. Like, he's more dangerous drifting into positions on that sidestep that would put you on your arse and over the bar. So there was different dynamic to guys where back probably up until, back up until 2000 or definitely 2002, like, midfielders was more about, you know, kicking the ball out, catching, kicking, you know, it was about fielding. It was dominating that platform in the middle of the park. So it was very, very, the game has changed. Like, there's great diversity of players in there. Like, for me, geez, Towhill, lads, I remember, I was 14, 15, and...
I think we need to talk about Towhill.
He was the first to come out of, like, that... You know, he wasn't just your traditional mullocker in the midfield that, you know, that would catch the ball and lamp it into the forward line. He had everything. He was a silky footballer, left, right, tuck to freeze. He, like, I remember definitely me growing up, 14, 15-year-old, looking at Towhill, I thought he was just top class. You know,
like, unreal. I have one quick story, and I'm Tomás. Obviously, you'd obviously be fairly familiar with Clash Crease 3. A lot of Kerry lads down through the years when they would have done their H-dips, and that they would have actually, Morris and Paul Galvin would have actually, when they were doing their teaching H-dips, would have worked in the school. And it's where I went to school. It's a bit of a football nursery. I still think fourth on the Hogan Cup list. But we got to the Hogan Cup final, in 1989, I was in first year in school. It was my first year in secondary school. And obviously everybody, all the students would be ferried onto the bus and you'd be taken off up to wherever the match was. The Hogan Cup final that year was it was in Port Leash. Wasn't played in Croke Park for whatever reason, but Crease Tree were drawn against Mahara, St. Pat's of Mahara, and it was the first time that I'd heard the two words Anthony Toole, and I'm not joking you, he beat us on his own that day. And we had a good team, like you had likes of Colin Corkery and Joe Kavanagh, Stephen O'Brien, all these fellas. Like Crease Tree had a very, very good side, but Toole literally, and like just I just thought he was, for me anyway, you know, and I was there in 93 when we were beaten, and without Anthony Toole, Derry win no All-Ireland. Absolutely case closed. Not saying that he won it on his own, but just, as Wilo just said, the most complete and the best Gaelic footballer I've ever seen, just in terms of his power, his size, his skill levels, his intelligence. He was extremely intelligent. Kick the frees, score goals, win kickouts, score points off his left, off his right. Just a phenomenal, phenomenal Gaelic footballer and a very good Sunday game pundit too. And I was kind of sad to see him go, actually, in one sense.
So I said I voted for him. My opinion doesn't count, except everybody thinks I'm picking the team. My opinion doesn't count, but I voted for him. Rory, you obviously voted for him.
Oh, 100%.
Aaron, yeah. You would vote for him. Tomás, would you vote for him?
Geez, I don't know. You see, I
the two O'Shea's that he's voting for.
He
needs another O'Shea in there.
I need two O'Shea's in there, Rory.
You can pick from three. There's Dara, Aidan, and Jacko.
We're picking a team of O'Shea's. No, I don't. I obviously Wheelo would have crossed paths with him. I came onto the scene around 98-99 playing National League, and I wouldn't have crossed paths with him early on. I do remember when Dara came on the scene first of all with Kerry, who was around 94, he was playing the league, and I remember Derry were obviously strong that time after winning the All-Ireland, and he'd be talking at home, you know, because we wouldn't go to all the matches. It wasn't like it is now where every match was huge. Even my old fella, I don't think, went up to an away league game. And Dara was just coming on. He was skinny and he was light. He wasn't the player he was later on. And I remember him saying, geez, he was sore from the Derry fellas. But he said Toole was an absolute animal. Like, and he's a gentleman. You see him coming across or whatever. But on the field, he must have been... Like, there was... That time, Kieran, there was huge midfielders. The physicality alone. Because it wasn't like now where every ball was going kind of short and every ball was kind of in made possession. Yeah. It was flung out the middle every single time. Like,
yeah, the keepers just put it down on a tee and they lamped it as far as they could, you know. So, like, when I first started, like, a gust of wind would have taken me away, you know what I mean? If I turned sideways, yeah. Now I'd block traffic, you know what I mean? So, I was up against guys like, you know, as I said, Seamus O'Hanlon, Barney Marr from Leash, you know, you obviously had Kevin Walsh, you had Toehill, McDermott from me. John McDermott, lads, was like,
two
All-Irelands as well. He was fiercely physical, and it was all about physique, basically. But I realised after a couple of years, the best way to play those lads was to try and get the ball, because if you had more pace than you get away from them. But if you got in a physical battle with them 50-50, you didn't have a hope. So there was massive guys around. Like, I played on Leinster teams where Barney Marr was midfield with Seamus O'Hanlon, and then like the half forward line was probably myself, Brian Steins, and Niall Buckley. Like, they were literally all midfielders that were being kind of picked, because it was just that kind of generation, I think, you know. But McDermott, lads, was another one, I think, from me, who was a beast of a player as well, lads.
Kieran, tell us a little bit about that. Kind of, as you said, it's changed now. The game is more about running. It's more about precision, like from the kick out. Like, you know, you're running into space rather than dueling with someone. Tell us what it was like when you knew that, God, what, 30 times a game you were going to stand toe-to-toe with, you know, the opposition's tallest, best jumper, best fielder, and you were going to battle him for the ball. Like,
It wasn't nice, Mikey.
Like, what was the psychology of it? What were the dirty tricks? There was a lot of toes stood on, I would imagine, for a start.
Yeah, well, it was all about positioning. But like, as I said, definitely when I started off the era, there was a lot of big guys around, and I was only a little whippet, being honest. Like, I was tall and skinny, but it was very, very, it was difficult, because you knew that you had to battle for that 50-50 possession, and I probably came out the wrong side of it a lot of the time. I remember playing Mark Tohill once in 2003 in a qualifier up in Clonus, and I was wearing my big white gloves at the time. And
I remember them.
I was with Adidas at the time, right? And Adidas gave me these big gloves, but they had, you know, the goalkeeper, they have the kind of the little protection panels behind each finger, right? They were big, monstrous things, you know. And in the first 5 minutes, Tola went up for a ball, and I came through just to punch it. I broke his hand with the things in the gloves, and he ended up gone. After 10 minutes, he was delighted. He was gone. I only played against Hull, I think, once in that championship match, because we only came across Derry really once. But played with him in international rules. He capped the international rules in 2001, so you would have got to mark him in training every week, you know. But he was
and a big thing as well from his point of view, I suppose, Wilo, was the fact that, like, his best years were served behind the straight knockout format. He never really got the back door. Like, I mean, the year that they won the All-Ireland 93, I remember speaking to Anthony when he was on the Sunday game, and he maintains that they were actually a far better side in 94, but they got taken out by Down, I think.
First round. Like, the other guy was obviously the other O'Shea. Like, Dara was just class as well, in fairness. The killer about Dara was brilliant, and Tomás will know this. He was great at dropping off in midfield and picking up possession, and all the lads were giving the ball.
And he was great at talking to referees.
Yeah, but he was not only was he a great fielder, but he was great at just dropping off. And all these lads would give him the ball, and then they'd make their runs. And so the amount of possession that he got on, like, if I'd done that with Dublin, they'd look at me and they would have said, I'm not giving it to that clown, he'll give it away. Like, Darragh was very good in possession. He just dropped into that half-back, and he would always feed him the ball to Moss, and then you'd be gone down the wing. And then he'd pick a long pass. He was a great kick passer as well. And that was horrible. Because he was on the ball nearly every possession coming forward. He gave him the ball. Everyone.
I think that's what the point Kieran made there with the kicking. The midfielders that time, it was a way more kicking. Yes, you'd lose a lot of possession, and people would call it foolish. You're looking at the old games at the moment, and you're saying, Jesus Christ, we kicked an awful lot of ball away. The way it was done. Like, it was, you were told to move the ball. It wasn't tactically. You were told not to pass it around the middle, not to hold on to possession. The Dubs have mastered it, but Kieran and Dara, Tohill, Jesus Christ, they were all brilliant kickers. Like, Dara could kick. He was the best kicker on our team. So, and he was the best fetcher on our team. I remember in one All-Ireland, he was our main man out around the middle. He had plenty of partners. Kirby was with him a few times, but he had no solid partner consistently, right? So we played our man in 2000 in the semi-final. And I remember I was on one wing. I can't remember who I was picking up. But on the other wing, Cathal O'Rourke was on the other wing. And they had it done perfectly. Like, we drew the game, the first game, and Dara was inside in the meeting. And he says, we have an issue. There's a serious issue. He said, I tried to start it out myself. I couldn't start it out. Cathal O'Rourke is coming across me. Just as I'm starting my run to go for the kick out, smack bang into me. And then, oh, sorry, oops, I have to run into you there. He said, it happened 5 or 6 times. So I was put on Cathal O'Rourke for the second game, with the strict instruction, he does not block Dara, right? So I said, maybe this isn't true at all. Maybe it was all accidental. Cathal O'Rourke, like, he seemed nice. Like, he was shaking my hand before the game.
That was a defiant tactic.
And after a couple of minutes, bang, smack, and Dara looked at me as if to say, what the hell, you're supposed to stop that shite, like, you know? And he says, I'm not a bloody, I don't know what you call him in the American football. I said, I'm more of a footballer than that, Dara. I'm not just a scutter, a tinker, like. And I'd have that chat with him after. But I stopped him the next time, and he went down. But it was all about the fetching. When we need, like, our go-to, same with Cheekeron, our go-to kick-out was boom it down the middle to Dara. And he did it for, like, I suppose I'd be kind of biased in that I saw him constantly, like. But that time, Jesus, he more than any. I think he was the most influential player on that Kerry team, ahead of Gooch, ahead of Declan, ahead of Shamo. I think he was. If you didn't have Dara going to field, you were in trouble. End of story.
He was the leader, really, as well. Even though I know Kerry still implied they still do with the captaincy role via the club county champions. But Dara was the leader, though, really, though, Tomás, wasn't he?
Jesus, Rory, like, there was no... Jesus Christ, if Declan O'Keefe or anybody took a shot kick out and based them, like, they'd be absolutely killed. There was no shot kick outs. So it'd be like, I don't know, it'd be like going out with Tuxin. Like, I don't know, he was the main man there, so I'd be biased with that. Like, and Fenton then, like... With Fenton, it's actually scary, the fact that he's not... How many years has Fenton left?
He's 20,
26.
26.
26.
Jesus Christ, like, the way he minds himself, he's another 6-7 years, like. I mean, he's plenty of teams to be getting on. I'd have Dara on before him.
Tomás, Dara can't be on the team because he works for Sky. That's the rule. Did you not know that?
Well, I'm still arguing for JJ. Can we get JJ Delaney in there somewhere?
Don't bring his hurl on. He'd do a job around the middle. That was a joke, by the way. You are.
But like, Willie Joe Padden and Jack O'Shea, what did you say the vote was, Mike?
Jack has 5,500 votes. Brian Fenton has 4,200. Then Dara has 2,600.
Like, it's scary. Watch. I remember the lads saying stories about Jacko and how he was just an absolute athlete. Like, he used to train in Dublin. Mikko's training sessions were supposed to be legendary, but Jacko was based in Dublin a lot, and he trained with
Mihalimurdik.
Mihalimurdik, yeah. But he was just like whipcord. He was naturally fit. Like, I think he won four. Am I right in saying that he won four Footballers of the Year?
I think so, ridiculous number, yeah.
Yeah, like he was unbelievable. Like, there was a brilliant story. I love that Jacko, Barra and Jacko would be great boys and they'd be chatting a lot or whatever. And Jacko apparently would wake up every morning. He was the most positive guy. If you ever meet him, like, he's always in good form. And Jacko would wake up and he'd throw back the curtains in the morning of an All-Ireland final. And it might be pouring rain. And he'd say, just what I wanted. Oh, I'm looking forward to this. Next year might be sunny. Just what I want.
Did he take part in, do you remember Superstars?
Rory, yeah. hold that thought, because I'm going to try to share my screen again.
Fair enough.
We certainly lost, if Anthony Toole could have played for Manchester United, judging by this footage that I have discovered of Jack O'Shea from Superstars, Definitely could have played in the Premier League with these silky skills. It's wanna bear with me there now, and we'll fire this up. Here's Jack O'Shea from the, I think it's the 1980
competition. Can we see this?
He's probably doing a few chin-ups. Oh, we can, yeah. Just play with it.
The last to go on the penalties then, Jack O'Shea won this event in his heat, and if he were to repeat that performance here, I can tell you there'll be some cheer for the ever popular Jack O'Shea. Despite the bandaged knee. Jacko's fellow countryman, Angus O'Donoghue, has already gone as well in the penalties. Only managed one goal and in a poor time. Show up to Jack O'Shea then. And if he were to tuck this one away, then Jack O'Shea would win the penalty shooting again.
Oh. In the penalty shooting again.
That's unreal.
Yeah, there you go. Telling you. Soccering, you, is that even allowed?
The only thing... That program, that Superstars, is just legend.
What a brilliant.
What a program in the 80s, I tell you.
Yeah, Pat was also on it. I think Pat's Blam was also on it. You remember with the sunburned arms?
Oh, that's right, Jimmy.
Yeah.
He'd forgotten to put on sunscreen with Jimmy McGee. But I'd be interested in the lads' views on this, right? I mean, look, Jack O'Shea broke my heart more often as a child growing up than anybody else. So, like, you know, look, there's amazing kudos and respect to him from anybody will say connected with Cork football. The only thing that I would say that if I was to pick my two, for instance, would be Toole and Brian Fenton. And the reason being, and Jacko misses out, is he was surrounded by all about five or six of also the best players of all time. Whereas I think Tuchel, I'm not saying he had a dreadful supporting cast, but he certainly didn't have the depth of quality that Jacko would have had. Is that fair or unfair?
You could, Rory, you could say the exact same about Fento as well, you know?
Yeah, I suppose.
He's unbeaten, you know, like his record is just incredible when you think about it. But he's also been surrounded by
excellence.
The great, you know, greatest team. So it's the two of them were probably very, very hard, I suppose, probably for us, because we're probably too young to judge Jacko. And there was only two games on TV when we were growing up. And we probably didn't see probably enough of him. But he definitely, for me, he stuck out from everybody else because he was such an athlete. He was a baller, if you know what I mean, where probably midfielders back in the 80s and 90s were more mullickers, maybe, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Probably, where he was just a serious athlete. And I'd say he could have played anywhere, you know?
And probably in any era, Wilo, I'd say, like looking at the kind of physical condition that he kept himself in.
Yeah, but I'd agree. Like Tuchel wasn't surrounded probably by greatness, even though that 93 team was a great team. You know, he probably didn't have the same level of players around him.
Yeah,
I think it was the longevity of Jacko. Jacko was around for, Jacko played in the 90s as well, didn't he?
He started in 75.
Was his last game.
Yeah, and he started in 75 was his first year.
75, well, no, 78 was his first All-Ireland. 75 he played minor, wasn't there? 76.
Oh, it's minor, that's
78
right.
Was his first senior.
Yeah.
But he is seven All-Irelands, like, it was... But he was just phenomenal. Every year was, and I suppose it is when he started. He played against Clare that day, didn't he? When they lost in 91.
Yeah, that was his last game.
Was that? That was the last game. Yeah, and he was inside full forward. I think like he kept going to the very end. But yeah, and the footage. I don't know. I think it's very hard. I'd love to see. Like I was looking at the 2019 All Ireland yesterday, and obviously Cluxton changed the way the game was being played. Really, with
draw the replay, Tomás.
I was watching the draw, and like, geez, I'd love to see. And it's nothing. Look, I'm Brian Fenton's biggest fan. I think it's amazing what he does. I think he's just miles ahead. You can argue from every facet of the game in terms of just tackling, in terms of marking, in terms of his brain, the way he works, it gets himself into position, his scoring, everything. But if he went through a full match where every ball was going out the middle, and every ball was being kicked long every single time, would he be... Like, we are comparing Jacko and Wilo and Dara and Tuchel, and a big part of it is the fetching. The fetching isn't a big part. The high-catching isn't a big part.
But was that not starting to come back, though, Tomás?
I actually thought it was coming back. It was beginning to creep back into, because a lot more teams, obviously, with the high press, you were seeing a lot more long kickouts.
Kickouts being moved out to the 20.
Yeah, I think... I agree with you, Tomás. I fully agree that it's the game is so different. It's very, very hard to compare guys. But I think we were at that point where it was beginning to come back, and Fenton was gonna, like, his feeling was improving and stuff like that. Like, that's the scary thing about Fento, is he can still get better. He actually can still get better. He's probably not in his prime, which is actually scary. Like look, even the league this year, he started to actually get forward now, and he's kicking more scores, and every year he's incrementally adding something to his game. So
the first time I came across him, actually, Wilo, and you might remember this, you were managing Raheny at the time. It was a game played inside in Inishfail. You know Inishfail therein? Yeah. And you were playing Fingal Ravens. Raheny were playing Fingal Ravens, and our club, Pats, that a bit, we were playing in the game afterwards. And I remember going and watching it, and I actually remember I met you in the car park afterwards. This now was long before he was playing with Dublin. And I said to you about him, I said, who's your man? Because you were playing him in full forward at that time. Was that correct?
Yeah, he was coming back from an injury, the knee injury. He was out for a full year. And he was only coming back. So he hadn't much done. And we bonus getting him back. But we with nothing up front. So I stuck him in full forward. And he played well that night. You know,
played well. But you could see he was a class above. He just had that inter-county style that, you know the way, like, lads are, he just glides across the ground. And you can
Kieran,
see this.
That's
Kieran, because one of my colleagues, Declan Welly, wrote a very good piece there last year. It was about kind of how himself, Jack McCaffrey and Kieran Kilkenny came up together playing for the kind of the North Dublin kind of schools ages, and how they kind of knew each other very well from a young age. Was it that injury that kind of stopped him progressing at the same pace as the two lads? Like the fact that, you know, he wasn't really, didn't feature at under 21 so much, and was that year or two later coming into the senior setup than the other lads. Was it injury, or was it that they weren't looking. Jim Gavin wasn't looking for midfielders at the time. What kind of explain that kind of slight pause? But yeah, now he came.
He came up because I texted him when Desi got the job. I sent him a text. I says you're fucked because Desi didn't pick you off the minors. I said to you. he came up with that development squad that Desi had, and he was always a great talented footballer, but he wasn't actually that tall, lads. He took a huge spurt when he was 17, 18, 19. So he didn't get picked. He didn't get selected on that minor team that Kilkenny and McCaffrey was on. Desi Farrell looked after them all the way up under 13. So he didn't get picked. And then he got injured when he after minor, about 19, 20, got injured. And he was. I remember him coming down to training. He was very despondent. He was actually very close. He was losing faith with the game because he had gone through such an array of injuries. And he was talking about going on a work placement down to Cork, and he was going to maybe train with a team down in Cork. So that would have been a disaster. That would have been his career over if he had gone down there, obviously, to Rory's crowd. But,
Does he still want to do that?
We persuaded him to stay. And then it was actually Dave Billings, the late Dave Billings, really, that saw something in him. Dave goes to every club match in Dublin, like no matter St. Anne's Park, wherever it is, he'd crop up with the dog or on his bike or whatever. And Dave was a great man for picking an eye for talent. And he Fento was going to UCD, and he got him involved in the freshers team. And then all of a sudden he was on the Sigerson team, and then he was in left half forward. And he just grew. And once his confidence grew, and then he grew as well, he shot up, lads. It was frightening. I remember looking down on him, and now, like, you know, you meet him, you're looking up at him. And so he was just a late developer, Mikey, being honest with you. He just didn't get selected for the minor team. It was nothing to do with injury.
Yeah. It's interesting. Tomás, would you think that would feed into the – like maybe he wasn't a naturally tall man to begin with, so he had to develop skills that maybe weren't kind of naturally, you know, weren't always associated with a traditional midfielder. So now you have got someone who's physically a traditional midfielder, but also has kind of the skills of somebody who, you know, may have had to play full forward or may have been considering playing around the half forwards or the half backs. So might kind of contribute to his all around game, I suppose.
Yeah, he is. Look, he's the complete footballer, Mikey. I think he's a great student of the game. I think he, you know, it's very hard to kind of read the lines with the Dubs, and hard to kind of get an insight into what they do and how they train and what the way they kind of think about the game. But I did a Q&A with Kieran Kilkenny, and, you know, it's not that you're looking for them to slip or anything, but he just mentioned that after training sessions himself and Fenton would go off, and this is after training sessions, and they'd meet up and they'd have conversations, and they'd basically dissect each other's training performance the night before in terms of whatever trial game or whatever they had, and ways of actually. So you can imagine, like, after a match, a manager might sit you down. These fellas go through it, I'd say, every single session. And I remember another night we were at a thing, and Dara did was up on stage. I remember Fenton, whatever way I glanced across, Fenton was sitting in front of the stage, and he wasn't there. Like, if you're inside in a place and you don't want to be there, you just get out of there. It's a pain in the arse. This guy was sitting up like a young kid listening to Dara. He just strikes me as the humility out of him. Like, he constantly wants to get better. He constantly, and if, as Wheeler reckons, that, and I would agree, yeah, the squeeze up will generate more kickouts and it'll be easier to push up on goalies. And I think he'll have no issue with it. But it's not natural. It hasn't been the natural in the last 10 years, but he is by far the best midfielder in the country. Like, I actually, the reason I got fully pissed off with the Aussie rules stuff was, I think that Kerry had Mark O'Connor was as close. There's a clip on YouTube of Mark O'Connor in his minor days in Croke Park. I think he played four finals in Croke Park, with the schools and the minors, and he was man of the match in three of them. And if you watch it and you say, that's Brian Finton, he's the exact same, where he gets around the field, he's at the end of scores, he's tackling, he's in great positional sense. Finton is by far the
he never looks like, he always looks like it's so easy to him, you know, where
looks like he's gliding, like,
yeah, when you're out there yourself, you'd be calfing, like, you'd be in a heap. You know what I mean? Trying to get from one place to the other, where he just looks like he's just at that one mode all the time, and he's just moving, and
lately,
like, never under pressure.
You talk about Dara reffing games. He's beginning to ref games as well now. As I can see him getting involved, and he gets close up and up to the referee, and he is the kind of a guy, if there's a skirmish going on, he doesn't go in looking for trouble. But by God, there will be no trouble. Like, he will get in there. I think he's... There's no... He doesn't start shy. He doesn't kind of get involved for the sake of getting involved. But you won't mess around with him either, like. And that's the way it should be. You know, I think it's...
Yeah, well, as you say, he's a nice fella. So referees, he's the kind of guy a referee will listen to, because he seems like a nice fella.
One of the tips of the game, lads, get to know the referees.
Oh, yeah. Excuse me.
Yourself and Dara Wheelo used to have great crack with Pat McEnany back in the day, I'd say. Even during matches, like big championship matches.
We did, yeah. Pat still gave us feck all. I don't know what we were doing wrong anyway.
I remember.
No, Wheelo, I'll tell you what you were doing wrong. You weren't inviting him down for dinner dues down to Killarney, yeah. and putting him up in the Glen Eagles on a weekend.
Well, Glen Eagle, it wouldn't be the Glen Eagle, it'd be the Europe. Put him up in the Europe.
Yeah, proper good time now.
That's one of the advantages when you have a midfield, if you're a midfielder, because the referee's standing with the ball in the middle of the park, so you always have that opportunity to go up early, 10, 15 seconds early, shake his hand, have a chat with him, ask him how life is, how are the kids, the whole lot, and that just little imprint in his head. All right. Midfielders have an advantage in that
which
regard.
Which referees were most receptive to that, Kieran? Which ones would have a chat and you'd soften them up, and which ones would see through you straight away?
Pat McEnany would always chat away to you. Paddy Russell chat away to you, I suppose. John Bannon, Brian Crowe, actually used to have a good crack with him. But then you had the likes of Marty Duffy, who wouldn't say anything to you. Do you know what I mean? He just snarled at you.
We won't talk about Marty Duffy.
We almost have to know after that.
We won't talk about Marty Duffy. I don't think Tomás would want me to start going on about Marty Duffy here anyway.
There's a lot of refs I wouldn't want you to go on about.
That's why you couldn't be a midfielder, Tomás.
Dr. Khan used to tell me, you think we were the only fellas influencing Rory. The Cork boys are really able to do it as well. Khan used to say he used to have an old trick where he'd run in, and Khan would be respected by everybody. You know, so if Khan said something, Khan wouldn't be trying to mess around or whatever, but he used to always go in, right, and he'd be treating it for, and the ref would be standing over, and if it was Marty Duffery or whoever it was, he'd say, "This is Marty, don't look at the match tonight, you're having a holer," and that's all he'd say. And he'd turn around and he'd run off and he'd say, "He's hope they influence something there now."
But you know what? Khan probably had to play the good cop, because if he was running in and you had Billy on the sideline, you had plenty of bad cop. You had plenty of bad cop going on.
Lads, we'll finish up now in a minute. So I think we always kind of finish to talk about the present day. It's clear you both have Brian Fenton in the centre of the field. Wheelo, who'd be partnering him now if you were to pick a current midfielder?
I didn't pick my two yet now, Mikey.
No, you've been mulling it over and giving you time. I don't want to rush you.
Come back to me now in a couple of minutes when you're finished.
So you're talking, Mikey, the basic current day.
Yeah. Who'd be your current day with Brian Fenton? Who would you have with him?
I'd say, listen, it's probably between Aidan O'Shea. I'd say in terms of what he gives Mayo, and you know, he is that kind of box to box player. David Moran, obviously, when David Moran is on his blow, he can control a game. He's top class. They're probably the two that I would be that if you were picking a current kind of team for an Irish Gaelic team as such, probably Aidan O'Shea and Fenton. I think they'd complement each other quite well.
Yeah, I wouldn't have much problems with that. I think David Moran. Yeah, David Moran. This, like, for Kerry going well, and it's a serious issue for Kerry going forward, because when David Moran leaves, whenever it is, and there was talk this year, but I'd say you might get a year or two out of him. But when he leaves, there's no natural successor. There's a young lad coming with the under-20s, but. Yeah, Aidan O'Shea, I think I'd be a big fan of Aidan O'Shea's. I think three of them. Fenton is ahead of all of them, I think. David and Aidan, I suppose. I don't think David and Aidan are surrounded by the players that Fenton is surrounded by as a unit. And I you fellas could argue, geez, the Mayo defence, yeah. And I'm talking the whole package. I'm talking the goalie. I'm talking your defence. I'm talking your midfield, because midfielders rely on all of them. And I think Fenton has the best package by all. And
okay, Tomás.
Fenton by far.
Put us out of our misery then. Who what's your midfield of Sunday game era then, from 79 to current day, according to the
I see we're all laughing already. I get the argument with Tuchel, and Jacko's in. Jacko for me is, and I've seen enough footage of it and I've heard enough, like he is an awe about him around Kerry, because I think the fact that he didn't live in Kerry as well, when people actually from Kerry, you'd see Kerry footballers walking around the place. Jacko was based in an Eagleslip, and when Jacko used to come home and Jacko would be walking around the place, he'd walk with a strut. You ever see him walk? He still walks with the same strut. But I think Jacko would definitely be there. I know I'd be in fucking trouble, and there's too many O'Shea's on the team. I go with Dara because Fenton, I think if you had
that's five O'Shea's on the team now.
This is fantastic.
I know this is probably my last time being invited onto the show now for this. I'll probably go down. But I think if you look at it over the years, from he came in at 97, he had a big impact in the final in 97. I know it's your brother and you hate talking about it, but for me, and I suppose I am biased because he won games for Kerry, and I said it before, he won big games for Kerry when and he was always there. He was the boss man around the pitch. He caused trouble when he'd start a row when it was needed. He would do, and look, I obviously if I was playing with I'd probably bias. There's nothing between himself, Fenton, Tuchel. I'd have Wheelo, like Dermot Early was down at six, I think, wasn't he? I'd change up that list. I'd love to pick whittle down a team myself and have the three selections I'd have for it. But look, I'm going with the two O'Shea's, sorry.
Can you find another 12 O'Shea's to fill out that team entirely now if you were to pick an entire 15?
Well, I already have Shawnee Shea's up there already.
You get Aiden in there in the full forward line, you know. Yeah.
Just one question to the lads, actually, before we wrap up there, Mikey, if you don't mind. That's just curious. Tomás mentioned David Moran, and I don't know if the lads were listening to the podcast yesterday, but Brendan Cummins was making the point that for the older players, like, there would have been a fear when this crisis hit that it might spell the end of a lot of intercounty careers. But Brendan actually took a very different slant on it. And I'd be interested in the lads' views, like, considering Tomás just mentioned David Moran and his age profile, that this could potentially be a little bit of a sort of an oasis for the body, and that lads will have a huge amount of time now to get proper rest and recuperation to maybe have another go once this thing passes. Would you kind of subscribe to that view, or do you think that, look, this could spell the end of Cluxton and whoever else, you know?
Well, I don't think it will spell the end of Cluxton, Rory, but I'd agree with Brendan to a certain degree. It depends, I suppose, on their self-discipline, and it depends on their environment at home. It depends what's going on in their lives, where they are at. But definitely in terms, like, geez, I remember the last year I played, 2009. Right. Well, Pat Gilroy played me right throughout the league. And by the time I got to the summer, I was spent, it was gone. And the previous years to that, I didn't play league. You know what I mean? Like, you know, the likes of Tomás, myself, the latter part of a career certainly weren't put out in February, you know, and you were kind of rested and recuperated, and you were a lot fresher come the summer. So there is logic in that, where guys that might be under pressure to, like, the league is so bloody competitive now, lads, that they have to, like, the best teams are put out there. Like, it's phenomenal, the competition in the leagues, and there's huge pressure on the lads to deliver at a consistent level right throughout the league. Like, back in our day, you know, geez, you'd waddle back in February with a big fat arse and you'd be gasping going around the first league game. But that kind of doesn't happen anymore. So there's probably logic that if they're self-disciplined and it rests the body, that they, and if they get an opportunity and get a run at it to come back, some older lads could come back with a bit of a blast, all right. Yeah. I wouldn't disagree with that.
Rory, I think, like, Jesus, who'd retire now? Like, you couldn't. Oh, I'm retiring. After what? After the, like, there's nothing, like, I think I find it very hard if you were on your last legs and, yeah, you'd say, geez, I plan to retire this year, but Christ, I'm not going now. Sure, how can I go now? No game played. Retire after what? Walk away after what? You know, and it's not that fellas have it planned out, but you'd like to walk out when you feel like you're walking out of some battle, or you've lost in an All-Ireland semi-final, or a Munster final, or a Leinster final, or whatever. You don't want to go Like it's something that we're not used to or anything. The only thing I worry about is in terms of freshness, like the fear that you don't know when this is going to kick on or when it's going to start or whatever. I've no doubt that Inter-County players are training like dogs right now. They're training, and it's a lot harder to train. Guido, you know this. It's a lot harder. You were with a group, and you're told to go for a 5-kilometer run with a group. You do it because, Jesus, if you don't, you look like an absolute. If you don't stick with that group, whereas on your own, it's the hardest. I've stopped running. I just go for walks anymore. I can't run on my own. Like, and I don't think, like, I think teams are training very, very hard, and they don't know when they're going to get back and think. I think that's hard on players right now because, realistically, lads, you're not going to see. You're going to see football this year.
I suspect some managers at the moment are trying to keep their players on a leash, that they don't overdo it in this period. They're trying to hold them back, and they're probably trying to control what they're doing rather, because they've so much time in their hands that they're probably thinking, yeah, I can get an edge or I can get an inch or two better, and they'll push themselves too hard. And it's a case of trying to hold them back, keep them tipping over, because there's nothing on the horizon at the moment.
Yeah. There's lads who have been going non-stop since they're 15, 16 on, you know, between development squads and club teams. They've been torn between 3 or 4 teams for 10 years or more. Someone should tell them how beneficial this rest could be. As someone was saying, mentioned yesterday, like the rugby players, you hear them talk about it almost sometimes an injury can be the best thing that happens to them because it means they get to rest and recuperate for 8-9 months and they can add a couple of years onto their careers. This doesn't even involve an injury. This can just actually be a real chance for a guy in his late 20s or early 30s who has an awful lot of miles on the clock, say David Moran, to reset. Yeah.
I think, Mikey, like that's definitely, like, you take this current situation we're in. If you're not in that current situation, Brent Fenton's getting up and he's training. I would say, I'm talking to the rugby lads, the Munster rugby lads down there, the GAFL is training just equally as hard, put in the same amount of time, are as equally as fit, died every sort of a thing. But then Brian Fenton's getting up for a day's work, and it is rest is the key thing. So I suppose, I don't know, a lot of them are working from home, but their routine has changed. I would imagine that inter-county teams ensure whatever else is that their routine is solid. And once their routine is solid, like, I think, you know, Kingston came out with the Cork Hurlers a couple of times and he wanted answers. He wanted to know, when are they back? Can you give us a date? Can you give us some idea? And the only reason they want that is they don't want a definitive decision. They want to be able to plan their training for what is actually required. What's the point in doing heavy stuff now when you need to be doing that stuff maybe 3 or 4 weeks before an actual match? And there isn't going to be a match in the next 3 or 4 weeks, so why do the heavy stuff?
Well, there's still so much nobody knows, and we'll find out a little later today how much longer we're all going to be stuck in our houses for, but it looks like a couple of weeks, and I would say optimistic even to get some club action this year, I'd say. So there's a lot that we don't know, but what we do know is that you can still vote for the All-Star midfield team of the
Wheeler summer. Who's your two?
My two, I suppose, in the interest of definitely going with and in the interest of balance, I think I'll have to go with James McCarthy. I'm only joking.
Don't you start.
No, he's not even nominated. No, yeah, it's actually very tough, being honest. I'm torn between, and it's probably having more, I suppose, upfront knowledge of Fenton maybe and Toehill, that they're the two I'm going for, and leaving Jacko out, which is probably harsh because I've probably not been in his generation. He probably was a better footballer than I'll ever understand. But no, I'm going with Fenton and Toehill based on my experience. Yeah.
Okay, for transparency, Rory, who are you going for?
Yeah, the same for me. And it's, and as I said, it was just in terms of the point I made earlier. It's not because I mean Jack O'Shea is a giant of the game, and he'll, you know, he's a Hall of Famer and all of that. It's just I feel that I think the support cast that Jacko had was incredible, absolutely incredible, off the charts, even more impressive, I think, in some ways than what Dublin currently have, despite the Dublin success. I just think, and Toehill, I mean, just a machine. So yeah. Toehill and Jacko for me. And in the modern game, I just want to give one shout to Niall Kearns and Monaghan, who I think is an outstanding midfielder as well. So,
fair play. All right, well, remember, you can still vote on the RT website and the News Now app. Please do vote. And when you vote, remember that you voted and we haven't picked the team. It's been picked by the public. although you football crowd are a lot more relaxed than the hurling crowd. justice for JJ. So I'll leave it at that. Sunday Sports back on Sunday. Lots of good stuff in there. I know plenty of GAA. And just like to say thank you to the lads. And please do subscribe or have a look at us on YouTube. And we will chat to you again next week when we will continue our look at these teams. So thanks very much, guys. And goodbye.
Great stuff.
Cheers, lads. Cheers, lads. Thank you. Good luck. Good luck.
Possession crucial from this. How much longer will the referee allow? Dublin lead by a goal. Oh, there's the whistle. It's over. It's over.
We earned it by winning the last two matches on the road, and that's not going to be taken away from us.
But what I love in hurling, I love players that never give in.
He hits it. He hits it. It's over the bar.